From NPR News in Washington, I'm Barbara Klein. In Japan, the official death toll from Friday's earthquake and tsunami stands at least 1,200. But in one northeastern state alone, officials say the number could climb to at least 10,000. Prime Minister Naoto Kan, through a translator, says the devastation is enormous.
In the 65 years after the end of World War II, this is the toughest and the most difficult crisis for Japan.
Aftershocks continue to rock Japan's northeast, several of them strong at a magnitude 6. NPR's Rob Gifford is in Sendai, where he says millions need water, food, and power.
Although the government is doing a lot, it's mobilized 100,000 soldiers, a number of civilian units as well. All sorts of rescue teams are here and rescue teams from abroad. It really is a massive, massive effort, and not all the people who need help have yet received it.
NPR's Rob Gifford in Sendai, Japan. Japan's top government spokesman is warning of a new threat of explosion at a nuclear reactor in the quake zone. This as engineers work to keep several damaged reactors from losing essential cooling water and melting. NPR's Christopher Joyce reports the most serious situation appears to be in Fukushima Prefecture.
At the Daiichi Nuclear Power Complex, engineers are flooding reactor unit number one with seawater after its cooling system failed. Government officials suspect some fuel rods may have been damaged and partially melted. Another reactor at Daiichi is having cooling trouble as well. The lack of electrical power has kept water pumps from circulating enough water through the reactor core. It, too, may have damaged uranium fuel rods. Engineers have had to vent radioactive vapor from these reactors to relieve high pressure and avoid an explosion like the one that struck Unit 1 after the earthquake. About 7 miles to the south, at the Daini nuclear complex, there are four more reactors. The International Atomic Energy Agency reports that these plants do have electricity for cooling. Christopher Joyce, NPR News.
Libyan state television is reporting forces loyal to President Muammar Gaddafi have recaptured another eastern oil town. Heavy shelling has reportedly forced rebel fighters out of Brega. In Bahrain's capital today, pro-democracy demonstrations turned violent. Police used tear gas, rubber bullets, and water cannons against protesters who were blocking the main highway into Manama's financial district. Today's clashes come on the heels of Defense Secretary Robert Gates' visit to the area yesterday when he urged Bahrain's leaders to move toward democratic reforms. Anti-government protests continue in Yemen. Police and government supporters fired live rounds and tear gas at demonstrators at Sana'a University. Police and hospital sources say dozens of people are injured. This is NPR. State Department spokesman P.J. Crowley has resigned over comments he made about the Army's treatment of Army private suspected of leaking sensitive information to WikiLeaks. In advance of his trial, Private First Class Bradley Manning is being held in solitary confinement at a Marine Corps brig in Quantico, Virginia. Crowley has issued a statement saying his comments were intended to highlight the broader impact of discrete actions undertaken by national security agencies. The European Union has yet another plan for restoring market confidence in its common currency, the euro. As Terry Schultz reports, leaders have reached a hard-fought deal that they hope will stabilize weaker members and stop speculation about possible EU bankruptcies.
Heads of state from the 17 eurozone countries have agreed, among other measures, to boost their shared bailout fund by almost 200 billion euros, bringing it to a lending capacity of 440 billion euros. The stronger backup mechanism is hoped to stabilize the debt market and lower the cost of borrowing money for struggling economies, thus preventing another country from needing a rescue package, as have Greece and Ireland. European Commission President José Manuel Barroso welcomed the agreement reached in Saturday's early morning hours.
We have now a real credible plan for reinforcing the economic governance in the European Union, and I think this is in fact critically important for the overall efforts of credibility.
Leaders did not determine where the additional money for the bailout fund would come from. They're leaving that to finance ministers. For NPR News, I'm Terry Schultz in Brussels.
New York City police are investigating the claims of a bus driver whose tour bus crashed yesterday, killing 14 people. The driver says he was clipped by a tractor trailer. Others say he was speeding. I'm Barbara Klein, NPR News in Washington.